Hi, I'm Erin Lundy.
And I'm Madeline Walden, and this is
Aquarium of the Podcific,
a podcast brought to you by Aquarium of the Pacific, Southern California's largest aquarium.
Join us as we learn alongside the experts in animal care, conservation, and more. Welcome back to Aquarium of the Podcific.
Woohoo!
We made it to season two. If you can't tell, that is a large crowd of people cheering in the background.
Live studio audience today.
Yeah, totally live. Totally not just recording this in an empty studio with just us two.
No.
Speaking of, I'm Erin Lundy. I'm the conservation coordinator for mammals and birds.
And I'm Madeline Walden, the aquarium's digital content and community manager.
What have we been up to since season one launched?
A lot.
Our jobs. Yeah. There's been a lot going on at our jobs.
Yeah, you've been up to a lot. A lot.
We've had a lot of different conservation projects that mm-hmm. we've been working on. We've had our mountain yellow-legged frogs continuing to grow and be awesome here, mm-hmm. working on some new habitats and stuff for some of our animals. So we have a lot of exciting things happening this summer. But for now, we just wanted to make sure season two gets brought to your ears.
Yeah, I know. It's been a minute.
And we can hear a little bit more about our animals, which I'm so excited about. I miss those stories.
I know. It's so fun. So tricking our coworkers into talking about
whatever works.
Cool their jobs are.
I think it works great.
I think so, too. It's really fun.
Today, we want to talk about one of the animals that is in actually quite a few exhibits mm-hmm. at the aquarium. They are rays, and rays are pretty cool animals that are pretty closely related to sharks, which mm-hmm. I don't think a lot of people know. They are a cartilaginous fish, which is how I am often described as
I have heard that about you.
I have heard that.
It's been going around.
Yeah. There's a rumor about it.
Mm-hmm. This is a really cool episode. It's surprising and not surprising that rays get a ton of love on social media. We talk a little bit about it in the episode, but
they're so cute.
Up there with the sea otters and the mammals here at the aquarium, and even over sharks sometimes. Yeah.
Even though they're cousins.
They're cousins.
They're the popular cousin.
They're the flat sharks.
They're just pancake flat sharks. So mm-hmm. therefore, sharks are still popular because they're just flat sharks.
Exactly.
Today we're going to be talking to Sarah Navarez, who is one of our aquarists who helps to take care of our rays. And she's going to tell us all about what it looks like to take care of the flattest sharks of all.
She's so knowledgeable. I really love this episode. I know I learned a lot. And I know you are too.
Yeah, I think it's a really great episode. And I'm excited for everyone to hear
it. And I'm excited to be back with you.
I am excited to be back. It has been so long mm-hmm. that this intro, we're like, are we good?
Do we know how to do this?
Do we remember this?
Do we know how to talk?
I think
but then
the
we put the headphones on and we're like, oh, yeah, we know how to talk.
We can really hear ourselves.
We're big yappers.
It's very meta. Mm-hmm. This is meta yapping that's happening right now. But anyway, without further ado, let's get into our episode. So today on our podcast, we have Sarah Navarez, who works with our rays. Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Hello. I'm great.
What is your job title here at the aquarium?
I am an aquarist one here at the aquarium, and I've been paid staff for about 2 years, but I was a volunteer diver before that for 4 years.
Ooh, I didn't think I knew that.
Yeah.
Very cool. So our dive program does have volunteers, which is awesome. And what level of dive certification do you need to be a dive volunteer here?
You have to be at least rescue certified. So that's, I think, the third level of certification, and you have to have 50 logged ocean dives.
Oh, wow.
Which is quite a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah, but we do a lot here. We're doing feedings, we're doing presentations. So you got to be kind of moving the whole time and be a good experienced diver. But it's ultimately what got me my job here. So
that's true.
Yeah.
All I heard was Sarah's like an amazing diver.
So basically, I'm the best diver you've ever seen. Yeah.
So did you start working with or around some of our rays when you were a volunteer diver?
The only thing I can remember is sometimes the volunteer divers will go into the ray pool exhibit and clean. Mm-hmm. And so I remember this was probably back in 2017, getting in a wetsuit and like doing the stingray shuffle, as they call mm-hmm. it, and just walking around and being careful and just scrubbing the walls and the rocks.
So the stingray shuffle is not a term I had ever heard until I moved to California.
Really? Oh, right.
And, yeah, and people are now just like, everyone knows the stingray shuffle. So for listeners who might not be familiar, what exactly is the shuffle?
So it's not a cool dance you do for no reason.
I think we should make it a cool dance.
Yeah. So beaches in California here are super populated with little round rays, and it can be dangerous. So you basically, instead of walking normally on the sand, you shuffle your feet so that whatever rays are in the sand will feel those vibrations and take off and be away from you, and you don't step on anybody.
Oh, that would be so sad
I know.
For everyone.
The human being stung and the ray.
And the ray. That's like, ouch. What has been your favorite part of your job so far?
So far, I recently got checked out to be a field diver. So, yes, I am part of the team that will go out and collect animals or go do surveys out in the open ocean for our research project, such as our abalone project that we're doing with a bunch of different partners. So that's been really fun to get out there and feel like a real scientist.
So cool. Yeah. Count abalone?
Sometimes we do. We'll run what's called transects, which looks like a big measuring tape underwater, and you run it a certain direction, certain location, and you're counting things on each side, mm-hmm. or you're surveying or doing things like that. Yeah, on our last dive, we released a bunch of baby white abalone, which was so cool to see.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
I think we're going to talk about abalone in a future episode and sort yes. of what our participation looks like.
So this is your preview.
Oh, this is a little sneak
peek of abalone.
Abalones exist.
Yeah.
Abalone teaser for everyone out there. Well, so it sounds like you did get your start sort of in our dive area, but how did you start mm-hmm. working specifically with rays? Did you have any specific experience that led you to that?
It's kind of funny. When I started, I remember my first day I was being shown around by my supervisor, and she was basically telling me what exhibits I was going to have, because mm-hmm. in my position, I'm in charge of 4 to 5 exhibits. And we walked up to the ray pool, and she was like, this is yours. So I just took it over. I mean, I've been around, like I said before, I've been around the rays and stuff, and I know about their anatomy. I have my degree in marine biology, mm-hmm. so I have, like, very intro ray knowledge. But that's pretty much how I got the ray pool. It was just given to me, and I've had it the whole time I've been here, and I've loved it. It's super cool. There.
I think one of my favorite things about working in husbandry, and that sort of has been a universal experience for everyone, is, you know, a lot of people come up to me and they're like, you must have loved frogs getting into this. And I'm just like, no. Someone one day just was like, hey, we need help. You seem like you like plants and probably animals. Like, do you want to help with this? And of course I did. You know, like, I love learning new things. But mm-hmm. there was no initial passion for amphibians. And now years later, it's like such an ingrained part.
It's
my whole personality. I have a frog tattoo. Yeah, like everything. How did this happen all of a sudden? And, you know, like, the Mountain Yellow-Legged Frog Project is so much a part of what I do here. But if you had asked me 5 years ago, oh, how interested are you in frogs? I would have said not at all.
They're fine.
Yeah, they're fine. They're cute. I like them, but I know nothing about them. And I think that's almost a misconception, because, like, how can you possibly come into this field with the level of expertise that you need to learn, like, to know about a ray? You know, it's not a pet animal. It's not an animal you could have kept. But, you know, one day you were assigned ray pool, and all of these rays are your responsibility. Mm-hmm. And then the passion sort of follows, which I think is cool. But what's that learning curve like for you?
It's very intimidating. Well, and a lot of things, too, you can only learn about these animals when you're working with them.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yeah, so we just finished up welfare assessments for our rays. Every year we weigh all of them, and we measure them, and we do a visual inspection. And so the first time we did that, we weighed all of them on mm-hmm. a big scale.
It's so weird.
I think we used the otter scale for the first time. It's so weird. Yeah. Like, it's big, and you don't realize how heavy they are.
Yeah.
Until
how heavy are they?
I think our heaviest one is 27 kilograms.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's like a 60-pound
big
ray.
Big girl. Yeah.
Who is that?
I think that's Stubby.
Stubby.
But yeah. But yeah, so I didn't know how much a ray weighed.
Ooh, that's hard to say.
I didn't know how much a ray weighed. Yeah. Until, you know, I'm taking it out of the water.
Yeah,
so
like, whoa.
Yeah, the longer I'm with the tank and with the animals, the more I learn about them. And mm-hmm. yeah, that's just how it is.
So much of it is such, like, niche knowledge, too. Of like, oh, for this ray, the best way to carry this animal is that. And you're like, how would I have ever come in with that information?
Yeah.
But I think it's really cool, and I love that people sort of get assignments, and then part of the assignments essentially learn about the animals and do everything you can to provide the best possible care. Mm-hmm. And of course we have guidance, and we have, like, husbandry care manuals mm-hmm. and things like that. Yeah. But so much of it is, like, on the job learning.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
But since you know so much about rays, we are going to be asking you lots of questions about
since
their
I'm
care.
The expert on rays.
Yeah.
Now.
So who are our current rays? Like, what species do you take care of our stingrays?
So in Ray Touch Bowl, we have the bat rays are the main attraction. We have 6 of them. They all have names, but we'll get to that in a second. We have 3 little round rays, and so those are the ones that you might find on the beaches here in Southern California.
They're little and round.
They're so that's yes, they're little round rays. They're
cute.
I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 inches across, and they're the brown colors that you see. They're like brown, light brown, and they camouflage really well on the sand. And then we have a shovel-nosed guitar fish in Ray Pool as well. It's kind of the one that's like doesn't look like a typical ray.
It looks like a shovel-nosed guitar fish. Like,
if you just draw that,
if you had to name it, just
draw what you think that is.
And that's
what,
probably what it is.
Yeah, you're so right. Yeah.
Is it considered a ray?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's some confusing, like rays and sharks and skate. The terminology are all related.
Yes. Skate is a whole other thing.
Stay tuned for the skate episode.
Stay tuned for skate episode, another preview. And then, okay, shovelnose guitarfish, weirdo. And then two sturgeon, which are the big fish in there.
We get asked a lot of questions about the
sturgeon. Everyone loves the sturgeon.
They are cool.
Mm-hmm. They're very cool fish. Mm-hmm.
How old are our sturgeons?
Oof. The big boy or girl, I don't know, actually.
The big ol' sturgeon.
The big sturgeon is maybe around 10 or 12.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I think that goes off of when we got them and everything. The smaller one, she's a little female, probably 4 or 5.
Okay.
But again, that's a very, very
slow.
Rough estimate.
Okay.
They grow slow and yeah. But the bat rays in Raypool have names. And all the names are based off what their tail looks like because there's no other way to name them, really.
Yeah, how else would you tell them apart?
How else would you tell them apart? So we have S, whose tail shaped like an S.
Mm.
We have Curl, who has a little curl at the end of her tail. Tiny is the smallest one. Clean is when we added...
As opposed to everyone else.
So Unrapeful, they're kind of... They're big animals. They can be a little rough with each other. So sometimes they'll have little scratches on them. And I think when Clean was added, she was like one of the newer ones with no scratches.
Oh,
so
pristine.
I think she was pristine and clean.
Clear skin.
Yeah. We have Stubby, which we mentioned before, and Stubby has the shortest tail. And then we have Kink, who has a little kink at the end of her tail.
Okay. So you can't, like, if you looked at the majority of their body, it would be hard to tell them apart.
Yes.
But the tail is very distinct.
The tail, if there's no tail, then you need help because there's no way you're going to tell their names. But
that's fair.
Yeah.
Well, then it would be None. That would be their name.
Aww.
Yeah, None.
None.
None tail.
That's
none
sad.
I know. Poor None.
Poor None.
Well, we don't have a None.
We
anywhere.
Don't have a None.
No.
Do the round rays have names?
No.
Wow.
Because they all look the same.
The little pause before.
No.
They just don't. That's
well,
fine.
I was thinking of a way that I could maybe kind of tell them apart, but no.
No, they
because
don't.
Because they're all similar size, too.
So. Mm-hmm. No. And they're like exactly sand colored. You're like, yes. I could see how someone would step on that. And
that's why the stingray shuffle is very important.
Yes. The bat rays, if you can't see that,
then you need help again because they're
big. Like 4 feet across. Totally different color than the sand.
Yeah.
But I understand when I looked at the round rays why that's important. Mm-hmm. Speaking of their tails, are there stingers on their tail?
So we refer to it as a barb.
Okay.
I know it's called stingray. I know it's called a stingray, but the barb is actually at the base of the tail.
So they should be called barb rays.
So barb rays. I'm changing their name to barb rays.
These are barb rays.
But the barb is at the base of their tail. So if you look at the body and just where the tail starts to come off the body, you'll see a little barb. A lot of the rays in Raypool are pretty old. They're around 20 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, some of them are charter animals. Mm-hmm. They've been at the aquarium since we opened. So over time, that barb, we trim it so that it can't hurt people. So some of the rays in Raypool actually don't even have their barb anymore.
Mm.
Sometimes if we trim it down or sometimes it'll grow crooked, so we have to remove the barb. So it doesn't hurt the animal anymore. So a good majority of them, I think 4 or 5 of them don't even have barbs. So just like a smooth little part on their tail. Mm-hmm. But we always keep it clipped so that no one gets barbed.
I've heard it described as kind of like a fingernail, kind of.
Yeah.
Clipping it back. So does it hurt the animal or does it cause any other issues?
No.
In a, you know, habitat where it doesn't have to defend itself, I'm assuming.
Right.
That's not necessary.
It's kind of like a dog's nail. You know how you can't cut too far, mm-hmm. otherwise you'll get the quick.
Mm-hmm.
So we cut just kind of at the end where it's pointy.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't bleed or anything. It doesn't hurt the animal. And you're just cutting off the sharp part of the nail or the sharp part of the barb.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. A manicure, exactly. Mm-hmm. And yeah, if they don't have to use them in the ray pool, they're fine without it.
Yeah.
It's for safety.
But does it feel like if you get stung?
It depends on the species.
Okay.
So if we're thinking of more common ways to get stung out here with the little round rays, if you get barbed, I guess... Barbed, stung, quilled? I don't know.
I've been barbed.
If you get hurt by a ray, by a little round ray, I know if you pour hot water over it, it's irritating and it hurts, but it's not like going to die or anything.
Yeah.
I'm assuming a bat ray, because it is a bigger animal, will probably be more painful.
Mm-hmm.
and again, the treatment for that is probably hot water until you can go to the hospital if you need
to. Can you go to the hospital for it?
I don't know. If the bat ray's worse.
That's true, and they're huge.
And they're huge. Bat rays in the wild can get up to 70, 80 pounds, I think.
Oh,
ours
wow.
Ours are 50, 60 probably. Mm-hmm. But they can get big, and they can get, I think, 6 feet in wingspan, which is my height. I'm a very tall person. So
everyone, Sarah is 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
And just imagine
so
a ray.
Basically a bat ray size.
Oh, that's why you're in charge of them.
Yeah.
You can relate to them. Yeah.
That's why they chose.
Your supervisor was like, you seem exactly like these bat rays. Let's put you in charge of them.
Yeah.
So have you ever been stung by a ray in general?
I have not.
Ever in your life?
Ever in my
life. All 50 in plus ocean dives you've done?
In all my 5,000 million dives I've done?
Never been stung?
No. Yeah, bat rays are usually, they're not ones, or rays in general, are not animals to go and attack you.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much only if, like we said, if you're stepped on, or if you're kind of in their area, or you're reaching down and you accidentally are near them, then they will whip their tail around and get you with a barb.
But
they're not aggressive animals.
They're so, like, they're such interesting animals, mm-hmm. because, like, to think that this thing is related to a shark, and, like, I hear people describe them as, like, a sea pancake, or, you know, like, they're so flat. They look so different than a shark. What are some of the similarities or characteristics that they have in common with other elasmobranchs? Like, what do you see across that family?
So, yes, they're related to sharks. They, both sharks and rays have, their skeleton is not made out of bone. It's actually made out of cartilage.
Mm.
So it makes them very smooth in the water. It makes them very flexible and easy to fit into maybe smaller spaces, but they're a lot more aerodynamic that way. Or water dynamic?
Not air. I'm going to call everything water dynamic.
Water dynamic.
I love that.
So that's one of the main things that sets, or that sharks and rays have in common.
Scott has a question.
Everybody, welcome Scott to the podcast.
Yeah.
Scott.
Yeah.
Scott.
And a ray nerd.
Hello, and a rock nerd.
And a shark tooth nerd.
Sharks, I know if you turn them over, they go into the tonic immobility, but do rays do the same?
I believe some species do. I honestly have never flipped one of the bat rays over because I would get slapped in the face.
By the ray, or?
Someone walking by.
First by someone being like, what are you doing? And then by a ray.
Okay, double whammy.
Yeah, they're very strong. Like I mentioned, when we do the assessments and we have to handle them and weigh them and all that, it takes a couple people. So that's an excellent question. But I believe some do, yes.
It's funny because sometimes I'll walk over by the ray pool and they'll just like slap the water so hard that they cause like this tidal wave outside of the ray pool. So I can't even imagine that like on your body.
Yeah, in the morning, their kind of routine is in the mornings they're very splashy. Mm-hmm. They will be up against the wall. We think they've just always done that. It's usually in the morning when I feed them.
Yeah,
so they're
ready.
Like, I want food.
Yeah.
And then in the afternoon, they're worn out and they're sleeping and napping. I'm exhausted. So yeah, sometimes in the morning, it just sounds like someone is.
Oh, I have mistakenly sat there like waiting for to go into pinnipeds or something.
Splash zone.
And just fully gotten splashed.
Yeah.
This is my fault. Thank you. Thank you for the good morning wake up.
Yeah.
It was just refreshing.
Yeah, exactly.
They're trying to help
you out. Walking around with wet pants the rest of the day.
Yeah.
That's pretty common for you guys, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Wet pants.
That's just okay. I'm pretty sure I've seen Sarah fully inside of the ray pool more than anyone else I've ever seen in the ray pool. Because you have to like go
with
into
regular
it to
pants,
clean.
Or
yeah.
Oh
yeah,
just in there.
I guess in a wetsuit typically, but I you
not in uniform.
Have
either.
You ever fallen in?
No,
really,
I have,
and
not.
You won't,
and I won't,
and she won't.
Says who?
I'm just manifesting that for her.
Well, okay, it doesn't count if okay. So
yes, it counts.
When I go in the exhibit, I'll be either in a wetsuit or in like fishing waders that come up to, I don't know, my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was doing something and I slipped.
That counts. Sorry.
Okay, that counts. And some of the water got into the
waders.
Yeah. It wasn't the whole thing. But so technically, yes,
enough.
I have fallen while I was inside the ray pool.
And you got water in your pants.
I got water in my pants and my
water
pants are all wet.
Pants,
we have to get in the waders to clean the pinniped windows, the seals and sea lion window. Mm-hmm. And there was the worst thing is I found out there was a hole in the butt of the waders because Parker swam by and it splashed. And I just got so much water down the back of my pants. And I was like,
horrible.
Thanks, Parker.
I had that happen when I was working on Trop up in the exhibit because the audio box, you actually have to go down those steps. And I leaned down too far to pick up something and water just filled the waders.
Yeah,
I was like, oh no.
I live in here now.
Yeah, that was my day.
Yeah. All of your clothes are wet.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
not like a wet sock or anything.
No.
It's like your whole body.
Everything.
You're just full of water. You're basically in like a little
I'm an exhibit.
Yeah. I'm in the pool. Cool. Well, so you talked a little bit about how some of our bat rays are 25 plus years old, have been at the aquarium since we opened. How long do rays live? Are there very long-lived species? Is it species dependent?
It's species dependent. Bigger way bigger species, like species of manta ray, I'm assuming live way longer, but bat ray lifespan is about 25 years. In captivity, they probably live longer, which is why the ones that we've had for so long are still kicking and splashing everybody.
Still splashing.
But they are considered older animals that we have. Yeah.
I know one of the questions that one of our listeners had was, what are the differences between stingrays and manta rays?
So manta rays are those big, big pelagic, meaning midwater species that you see people diving with. They have the big oral lobes that they take in their food with, and they are giant. One day I will snorkel with manta rays. One day.
You have to. I haven't done it either, but I know I've seen some of our colleagues have gone and shared the most amazing pictures.
Yeah. It doesn't even look real, like how big they are.
No, it looks like just a sea monster. Yeah. It's so cool.
But a cute monster.
A cute monster. We used to have them painted on the front of the aquarium, even though we didn't have manta rays here.
Yeah, it was misleading.
Exactly. But it was still very pretty.
Like in the front entrance?
So before PV, we had a muralist from, I think he was from Portugal, come. It was part of like the Long Beach like walls project.
It was pretty.
It was really, really cool. I'll send you a picture.
Yeah. I don't remember that.
Yeah, this was
pre-PV.
Probably 2016. Well, I think it was my first year that it went up.
It was when
when I started diving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Manta rays, giant, no barb. Oral lobes. Stingrays are usually smaller. They're more benthic, so they're more on the bottom, as opposed to manta rays, more pelagic in the water column. And stingrays have barbs.
And barb.
How?
And barb.
So stingrays typically, like I know we have the species pelagic rays.
Yeah, oh, yes, yes, sorry, yes. Oh, I forgot about Sansa.
We do have the pelagic. Okay.
Yes.
So I know we have pelagic rays, which are a stingray that is pelagic. Mm-hmm. So they sort of deviate from the norm of what stingrays do. Mm-hmm. But do stingrays, are they shaped like that and their mouth is on the bottom? Like, is that a feeding thing for them or a defense thing? Like, why are they at the bottom?
Well, yes. So first, I forgot about Sansa, which is our pelagic ray. In Ray Pool, we do have one. And so
can you go over one more time what pelagic means?
Yes. Pelagic is describing the water column. So you're not at the very surface of the water. You're not in the sand in the benthic zone. You are in the pelagic zone. You're kind of in the big, open, blue water. The pelagic zone.
Yeah, so like
zone.
Jellies are pelagic, right?
Species. Dolphins are pelagic species. Okay. Most whales are pelagic species, so our pelagic ray is named Sansa. And she does have a barb, and her mouth is on the bottom like traditional stingrays, but she lives in the pelagic zone. So for our bat rays, and other benthic species, all of their food is usually going to be found in the sand. And so bat rays will use their little, like, kind of the tip of their nose, like a little shovel, and go through the sand and get different mussels, clams, things that live in the sand. And that's how they eat. And I don't know about pelagic. Rays will eat things that are in their pelagic zone.
Like midwater column.
Midwater column. Yeah, Sansa does eat off the bottom occasionally.
I was going to ask, do you see like kind of a difference in behavior in the way she eats compared to the other rays?
It's cute.
It's very cute. So Sansa's the light of my life, if you can't tell. So we got her when she was very little. She's about 3 or 4 years old right now. And so before she was as the size she is now, we would target her. And she would eat separate from all the rays so that we ensured that she actually got food. Mm-hmm. And she would come up to the surface with her little face, and then we would give her with tongs food. Mm-hmm. And then she kind of flips on her back and swims backwards, and she'll use her pectoral fins to kind of like bring food to her mouth. So think of like a little taco being folded. She would do that. Use her wings and kind of get food. And sometimes I would throw food onto her little mouth when she's on the surface. Aww. And then she'll kind of flip and come back and do the same thing.
So we have sea pancakes, sea tacos.
Sea taco.
What else do we'd call them?
Sea raviolis.
Sea raviolis. That's a good one.
Cute. Yeah. Like little baby ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just reminds me of when you like throw a cheese ball in your friend's mouth.
Yes, that's exactly what I would do with her. Yes.
Just throwing little pieces of clam in her mouth.
Yes.
She's like, yes.
So please. Backtracking to, that's how pelagic rays eat. They use their... They use their wings. Mm-hmm. They use their wings to capture food.
I have some video of that. We'll have to post along with the releases. It's real cute.
Yeah, she's my favorite.
Wow.
Can you tell?
Just right out there. We're going to tell all the bat rays.
They're fine.
Do our rays ever breed here?
So we have all female rays. Oh. When female and male elasmobranchs, sharks and rays, are together, the males are extremely aggressive.
With
the females. Yes. Rude. Because, yes, very rude. because they're trying to mate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so they'll grab their wings. They'll, yeah, it's very, very
intense.
You need a sorority only.
Yes.
What if males are alone together?
So all of the roundaries that we have are actually all male. Mm-hmm. And they're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're fine.
But it's when you have the same species of different sex that they get a little crazy.
I remember one of the cow nose rays was pregnant at some point. What does a pregnant ray look like? How can you tell?
They're just chubby.
They just have like
they look a little chub chub. Yeah.
The cow nose rays, they just, you can see a little tummy on them. It's really sweet. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting. So we need to keep same sex of the same species together.
Yes,
otherwise,
just to prevent
issues.
Any injuries or issues.
That's
fair. Mm-hmm.
Are they? Do you consider them to be like a pretty intelligent species? Do you do any training with them?
I do. Like we mentioned before, with Sansa, we would do the target training, so she would come up and eat. Mm-hmm. So you can target train them, you can station train them. We had a couple of bat rays in Blue Cavern, I think last year, and they were able to come to their little target, and the diver was able to feed them.
That's cool.
Yeah, they're intelligent to that point, but not like a GPO or something.
Yeah,
they're smart for what they need.
They're smart for what they need.
They
need
around.
Food. They splash around, and they're fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What a life.
What a life.
I wish that was me.
The last question I wanted to ask about sort of our rays in general, do you find that they each individually have their own personality? And like, what sort of enrichment do you provide to sort of keep them mentally stimulated?
So whenever I am in the exhibit, either with waders that are not flooding or with a wetsuit that I'm not falling in, sometimes I'll put food on the bottom and then put kind of like a weighted net over. It looks like a big square net,
mm-hmm.
and they'll kind of have to dig through.
Oh.
And kind of, it's whatever.
It's a puzzle feeder.
Yeah, it's exactly like a puzzle feeder, like a Kong ball. Mm-hmm. Whatever you can do to stimulate their natural way of eating mm-hmm. is a great type of enrichment. So they're using those little plate teeth and their shovel little noses to get the food out from under that net. And they really like it. But in terms of personality, I sometimes relate their personality with their name / what their tail looks like.
Mm.
So
Tiny just has
tiniest, little, and she's not kind of one of the more, I don't know, not aggressive, because when I feed them, they get very crazy, and
mm-hmm.
they're not being mean or to each other or anything,
they're
but they're just kind of excited,
food.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Tiny's kind of the one that will stay back a little. The biggest one is, or Stubby, yeah, the biggest one is Stubby, and she'll kind of be more excited, but other than that, they're kind of all the same.
So I know those are all female, but what is the sexual dimorphism with rays?
So with rays, just like with sharks, the female's on her underside, she's just gonna have a vent, and then the male has two claspers.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
which look like, yeah, kind
just
of elongated
like
fins. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the small round rays, the males, you can see their claspers even when they're right side up.
Where is it relative to their barb? Their claspers.
So it's basically the same location, but on the other side, underside of them.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of at the base of the tail-ish, but the claspers will come out towards their tail.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the vent is kind of right before their tail on their main body.
So rays are really just kind of like a shark.
Kind of squished. Pancaked.
Yeah.
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 Squished it.
All the like fins, they just like
yeah, everything
blob.
Melts into one pancake.
So cool.
Yeah. I can't remember if you already said this, but do they have teeth?
Yeah, so they have, since they're eating hard-shelled items mostly that are in the sand, they have kind of, their teeth are flat, kind of like two plates, like two grinding plates that are against each other, and they'll kind of grind them together and to crush up the shells, and then they'll eat the meat and spit out the shells.
Huh.
Yeah, so it's not like traditional shark teeth, like the pointy, scary things.
Yeah. So they're messy eaters, though, huh?
Very messy.
Okay.
Yes. If you go up to Ray Pool and you see the shells in there, that's because I haven't taken them out. But yeah.
She's
on it.
But I'm working on it. Okay.
Leave her alone.
Yeah.
But I know that, like, similar to sharks that do sort of, like, have teeth that replace their teeth, like, I've found the ray, like, dermal or dental plates or whatever they're called. Like,
mm-hmm.
I found those in the sand before.
Mm-hmm.
How, like, frequently are they, like, dropping those?
I don't think it's very frequent,
mm-hmm.
but I know that they will replace them continuously.
Okay.
As they lose them.
As often as sharks do necessarily.
I don't believe so.
I wish that if my teeth fell out, they'd just come back.
Imagine. You don't have to get like a crown or anything.
Yeah,
they
just
don't.
Like, oh, I got
you just
new
get
one.
A free tooth.
Yeah.
They don't. They're not going to come back.
No, Madeline, I have bad news. Those are your last ones.
That's all I get.
That's it.
Well, I'm assuming, you know, with it's probably a lot more work to grow a plate than it is a tooth continuously. So it probably is a little less often.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Speak for yourself.
How many plates do you have?
You growing plates over there?
I have a lot of plates. Don't worry about it. Well, that's sort of what I wanted to ask you, but I wanted to know what your favorite story has been personally working with the Rays. What is your favorite thing about working with them, or what is your best Ray story?
My best Ray story. I love working at the Rays because whenever they're one of the first exhibits I go to in the morning, mm-hmm. and they're just always so excited and always, even if they're splashing and getting me wet or whatever, they're still just, I don't know, they're very routine and they kind of do the same thing every day, mm-hmm. which is comforting to me.
Yeah.
It sounds weird, but, and then whenever I go up and feed them and as soon as I throw food in, they're all calm and they're all like doing, they're just so happy to be eating and yeah. like, okay, same. But I just love how, I mean, we talked about how they don't really have like specific personalities, mm-hmm. but I do like how they're all kind of just little cows and they just kind of do their own thing and they're really cute. So
they have a good demeanor.
Yeah, they have a good demeanor. Exactly.
They're really sweet.
Yeah.
Madeline will go over some of the questions we had from our listeners in social media. And we have some really great questions.
We have some great questions, especially this first one, which is, how silly are they?
Scale of 1 to 10.
Scale of 1 to 10, 40. No. I would say they're kind of silly.
They're
splashes against the wall for no reason?
Yeah.
Like, really silly. You see the underside of them? They just got those little smiley faces.
Mm-hmm. It does look like silly.
I mean, they don't call them like ravioli or pancake, you know, for nothing. Yeah.
That's amazing. How do they sleep?
They will usually, sometimes they do it in Raypool, but mm-hmm. out in the wild too, they will kind of bury themselves under the sand with their wings mm-hmm. to hide themselves. And they just kind of chill on the bottom. Yeah. In the afternoon.
Like me.
Yes. In the afternoon up here at the aquarium, they will just be all kind of cuddled together, all kind of touching wings sometimes, and they just hang out there.
Separately from the conversation or the questions from social media, rays are a social media favorite.
Yes.
Like, more than sharks.
Shockingly. Oh.
Like, I think if it went in order.
Stars of the show.
In order of, like, kind of our most, like, what gets the most engagement on social media, it's otters, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Pinnipeds, and then rays. Like, above octopuses, rays perform
well. Brooke.
Yes. Ooh, we're leaving that in. We'll see if Brooke listens to the podcast.
But I wanted to get your perspective on, like, why you think that is. I mean, they're cool, obviously, but why do you think they're so up there? Why do you think they're so engaging?
I think rays are just, like we talked about, their shape is just so silly, mm-hmm. and I think a lot of times they're either in cartoons. I think they're just a very easy animal for kids to identify and to kind of know since childhood.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that one, they're so cool.
They're so neat.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite ray species? Maybe, like, it doesn't have to be one that you've been working with, because it sounds like Sansa has your heart.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Sansa has my heart.
She's a favorite individual, right?
Yeah. Yes. I would say I love, in the Shark Lagoon Touchables, I love the blue spot rays.
They're beautiful.
So cool. They don't even look real.
Yeah. No.
Like, they look like someone
it's
painted them with blue.
It's such a bright blue. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which we did not paint.
Yeah. No, no painting was done. This is a natural.
Aaron, stop it.
I've been painting them blue. They're just cow nose rays.
Imagine.
Exclusive species at the aquarium of the Pacific.
They just look, I don't know. They look like, yeah, like someone painted them or
They're
drew
beautiful.
Them.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Great job,
I did
Aaron.
A good job.
A great job. They all look so cute.
They're really, really cool. Are they more venomous? Like, why are they blue? Is it a warning coloration?
It might be a warning coloration. I don't know, in that habitat where those rays live.
Mm-hmm.
But that wouldn't surprise me if that's why they were so, like, kind of unnaturally blue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's like almost like fluorescent blue.
Yeah,
when you look at them,
it's shiny. Do you have a ray that you would like to work with in the future, a ray species?
Do
you have one already here, or a dream one that you would like brought in? Doesn't have to be a Pacific Ocean animal either.
Sweet babies.
Yeah.
I do love, whenever I dive
went over my head.
Whenever I dive in Shark Lagoon, I do love diving with the giant reticulated ray that we have. She is she's so big.
She's
again,
our largest
she doesn't
animal
look,
at the aquarium.
Yes.
In size,
yes.
not in weight.
And she doesn't look.
That belongs to Parker.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Parker's, I don't know, 800 pounds or something.
At his max. Leave him alone.
Oh, that's still so big.
And he's heavy. He's 850, okay?
Oh, wow.
But the I have such a hard time saying this.
Reticulated.
Reticulated
retic.
Ray.
Retic ray.
Retic ray.
Yeah.
She's about, like, 400 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. That's 11 feet long.
Biggest yeah. pancake I ever
yeah,
seen.
She's
11 feet long?
Yeah.
That's two Sarahs.
I know. Can you? Yeah, that's huge.
We just measure that's everything by how many
Sarahs they are.
Every ray gets measured in Sarahs now. That's too,
what a wow, dream.
That's a long ray. So yeah, how long is her body? Because her body is not 11 feet.
No, that's like with across her tail.
Her tail is very long. So I don't know how long her body is, but
I think it's majority tail. It's but majority her tail. Body is still
she's 10 feet thick of tail and 1 foot of body.
We're like, wow, that's kind of what the eagle rays look like.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's like eagle rays.
Yeah, eagle rays, I mean, they're still big, but the tail is long.
Yeah, I remember when we got them when they were, do you remember when their eagle rays were little?
Yeah, they were so
I was a volunteer diver, and we would feed them with a little, because they're trained to like the purple cone shape. Mm-hmm. That's what's on their stretcher. So we would carry down a purple traffic cone with clams in it, and they would come up to it, and they were, I don't know, like 4 feet?
Yeah.
Little. Tiny. And now they're huge.
They're
but
huge.
Yeah.
Do you know how big the eagle rays get?
Like, in general? Mm-hmm. I don't...
How many Sarahs?
I don't know. 60 Sarahs. I think... Wow. I think they just weighed the female, and she was... Or excuse me, the male, and he was around between 150 and 200.
They're so cool. Yeah.
I think he was 150...
Those are some big animals.
I love their noses.
Yeah. I know. They look like little pizza slices.
I know. They're so cute.
Yeah.
They kind of look like they have like a very, I don't know, like if their side profile is very distinctive.
It looks
kind
of like humanish because it's like pointy.
It is. It's really cute.
Are the eagle rays named that because of the shape of their like face?
Yes, probably.
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
Very eagle-shaped face.
Fun fact, the eagle ray in Trop Reef is named Elvis.
Oh,
yes.
I did not know that. Mm-hmm. Do you think that there's a ray fact that people would be the most surprised to hear?
I have not seen, but some rays can actually jump out of the water. And,
whoa.
Mm-hmm. Obviously not here. But yeah, some rays can actually jump out of the water and back in.
Do they get like a just running like start?
A flapping start?
Zoom.
Probably.
Do you think that they belly flop? How bad would that hurt if they just
horrible.
Like pop?
I'm assuming if belly. They're coming... up, they would kind of maybe go nose down. But
maybe they learn over time
not to just pancake.
It'd be such a jarring sound to hear out in the ocean, just like a smack sound.
Maybe that's why they're shaped that way.
Yeah, to do that.
Yeah, they were sharks, and
they
too many
just
belly
got
flops.
Bigger
yeah.
They flattened themselves.
Flatter and flatter.
Maybe they want the belly flop harder.
That's so funny. Do they communicate with each other in any way? Is there any sort of like social structure with?
Yeah, some rays will actually be solitary or. Mm-hmm. A couple, and then some live in big, big, big aggregations with each other. Like, I know I've seen videos of, like, drone footage of, like, mm-hmm. thousands of rays congregated together.
What are they up to?
Flapping?
Is it, like... Is
confidential.
It, is it it's a breeding con- thing?
Yeah, I'm assuming.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. If it's that many, yeah. I'm assuming.
It's mm-hmm. a lot of rays.
A billion rays.
They are cool to see those overhead shots, though, mm-hmm. and you can just see so many of them in mm-hmm. the same place.
Cool.
Yeah.
So neat. But do they communicate with each other in any way that you've noticed, maybe? Or
Not that I've noticed mm-hmm. with my girls, but mm-hmm. I'm assuming just with their spatial awareness, and they've been with each other for so long, and so they're like a little family.
So cool.
Yeah.
If you had one thing that you wanted our listeners to take away from this, including the Stingray Shuffle.
Can't forget Stingray
Please
Shuffle.
Please do that.
I would say that there's a lot of things about rays that maybe aren't super obvious or that people don't know, like difference between manta ray and stingray, which we talked about. Did we talk about that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or I thought we just did it before. And there's so many different species of rays out there. It's not just the bat rays that live in the sand or the brown rays that live in the sand. So I would encourage people to go out and research, or if you're curious about something, find out as much as you can about it. I mean, I work with these bat rays every single day, and I still, for this, had wanted to look up different facts and different things about them because there's still stuff that I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I would just encourage people to keep researching what they're curious mm-hmm. about, especially about rays, because they're so cool.
Keep your curiosity burning.
Keep your curiosity up.
Send the rays of curiosity
to Sarah.
Yourself.
No, to I don't want
Sarah
that.
Navarre.
She's got enough. Yourself.
She's got enough.
Yeah, I guess.
She has enough rays.
Send
for that.
To us. We'll ask Sarah.
I think we might have rays in every gallery right now.
Let's see.
Maybe not in Northern specifically.
Let me think. In that Northern proper area? No.
Mm-hmm.
Northern proper.
Oh, do we? Wait, we had little...
There was a little... In Sandy Bottom, right?
That's the name of an exhibit. It's called Sandy Bottom.
Why are you laughing at it?
Because it's called Sandy Bottom.
Anyways. No, I don't think there's any up there.
Okay. So we have rays in just about every gallery here at the aquarium. So Sarah is talking specifically about the rays she works with, but I know we have eagle rays in tropical. We have several species in tropical too. So if you come visit the aquarium soon, you'll be able to see stingrays pretty much everywhere.
Come see the flappies.
Yeah. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. I learned so much about rays, and I'm excited for our audience to do the same.
Of course. Thank you so much.
Aquarium of the Podcific is brought to you by Aquarium of the Pacific, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. In 2023, the aquarium celebrates 25 years of connecting millions of people worldwide to the beauty and wonder of our ocean planet. Head to aquariumofpacific.org to learn more about our 25th anniversary celebration. Keep up with the aquarium on social media at Aquarium Pacific on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
This podcast is produced by Aaron Lundy, Madeline Walden, and Scott Shaw. Our music is by Andrew Reitzma, and our podcast art is by Brandy Kenny. Special thanks to Cecile Fisher, Anitza Valles, and our audiovisual and education departments, and to all of our amazing podcast guests for taking time out of their day to talk about the important work that they do. Podcific wouldn't be possible without the support of the aquarium's donors, members, guests, and supporters. Thanks for listening.